Welcome to the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, a primitive Baptist ministry declaring the good news of the finished work of salvation by grace alone. This weekly radio program is brought to you by Elder Joe Nettles, pastor of Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church in Caledonia, Mississippi, and Elder David Wise, pastor of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church in Ackerman, Mississippi. We now invite you to stay tuned for our message this morning.
You have tuned into the Gospel of Grace broadcast. Welcome. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Joe Nettles, and I welcome you also on behalf of Elder David Wise. We are pastors of two Primitive Baptist churches in the Northeast Mississippi area. Sulphur Springs, where I endeavor to pastor. Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church is in Caledonia, Mississippi. And Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church is in Ackerman, Mississippi. Both churches would love to have you come and worship with us. Go to gospel-of-grace.com. You'll find directions and links, everything you need. Download the Grace Alone radio app. It's internet radio. You can download it free for an Apple or an Android device. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of Primitive Baptist content. Go and be fed and enrich your life by the truth of the Lord's grace. We're going to bring for you this morning another installment on the series Red Letter Reckoning. And after this hymn, we'll be right back with today's message. Thank you for staying tuned to the Gospel of Grace. If you will, turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 3. Now today we're going to look at the red letter of the New Testament scriptures, and we're going to look at a certain subject called being justified by faith. Now we read in the New Testament many things about being justified by faith, most abundantly through the writings, the inspired writings of the Apostle Paul. And what does it mean to be justified by faith? Many people get the idea that when you believe the gospel and you recognize that faith that the Lord has placed in your heart, that that's when you get born again and secure for heaven. You must first do this. You must first do that. You must believe. Then you must confess. Then you must be baptized. All of this long laundry list of things that must take place before you can feel secure in salvation. Well, my friends, we want you to understand something, that the Holy Spirit of God is sovereign. And men can't invite it in and men can't turn it away because the Holy Spirit is God. And when he has come into your hearts and caused you to be born again, he places faith within you. He gives you the very elemental necessity to be able to believe and follow him by faith in a quickened heart that has been born again by the Spirit of God. You do not believe and trust in Jesus Christ to get born again and secure for heaven. No, my friends, you can only trust and believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior because the Holy Spirit has already shown you that you're a sinner and has already applied the merits of his blood and the certainty of eternal life to your case. So faith, being justified by faith, doesn't let God in on anything. God, my friends, has known his people from before the world began. Jesus knew them when he hung on the tree of the cross. And certainly the Holy Spirit has the power, the unmitigated, unfailing power to quicken each and every heir of promise. But what trusting in the Lord does is it gives you an authoritative knowledge in your heart, in your mind, that Jesus Christ has already done this for you. Even when you were in a case and in a situation in your depraved nature where you despised him, Jesus Christ shows his undying love for you and that he has quickened you and brought you to a mindset to realize your own lowliness, but his exalted state. You see, faith is an evidence. It is not a tool to gain eternal life. It is an evidence of the eternal life that one already possesses because it was freely bestowed upon them without their cooperation, without their volition, without their permission. It was God invaded your heart and placed himself there because he had loved you before the world began and you were a vessel and he fits you to do his bidding through the medium of the Holy Spirit of God. How can you know that has happened to you? Well, do you believe in Jesus Christ? And I'm not talking about in a historical sense. Many hard-hearted, proud historians out there will claim and tell you, yes, readily, there was a historical Christ. But we're talking about spiritually. Do you believe and trust in him that he is the only one, the only Lamb of God, the only Messiah, the anointed one, to take away the sins of the world? Well, my friends, you can't believe that unless you believe yourself to be a sinner. Do you feel that in your heart? Does it weigh upon your mind? Well, the only way you got to that state, I would venture to tell you from the Word of God, is that God has already chosen you out. God has already quickened you. And now when you come to that trust and belief in Christ, it reveals it unto you. Well, let's look at a couple of passages of Scripture before we go to the red letter that teaches that over in Galatians chapter 3. In Galatians chapter 3, it speaks about hearing the gospel and believing unto the sound of it. Verse 26, he says, "Ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." Now, does he mean that you have become his children by faith, or does it made manifest to you that you're his child? You know, faith is basically the 23 and me of this world. It reveals unto you that you already have the spiritual DNA of God. Verse 27, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." Now, the world would say, you must hear the gospel, and you must believe and trust and enter into those covenant promises of Abraham before you can be secured to live with Christ in heaven. But the Apostle Paul did not teach that. Verse 29, at the end of this chapter, he said, "And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." You do not trust and partake in the covenant blessings of Abraham to become Christ's seed. No, you must be Christ's seed before you can be brought into belief and trust in the Lord and see Abraham as your father of faith. We go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, another place where the Apostle Paul taught about being justified by faith. Again, the spirit birth must precede faith. So by the time you exercise and recognize faith, then my friends, it shows that you already have the spirit, not hoping to get it, but you already have it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, he says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Well, what are these all things? Well, obviously, they are all the spiritual blessings that you have because you live in Christ. Before, you didn't have a desire to pray. Now you pray. Before, you didn't have the ability or the desire to trust in the Lord. Now you do. You see, You didn't have the desire to do righteousness. Well, now you do. These are new things. These do not emanate from the depraved nature that you're born in this world with. But my friends, now you're exhibiting those things that you are born again into this world with. So he goes on and tells you about these all things, and all things are of God. That means that's where they come from. That's who gave them to you. And all things are of God, who hath, now notice the finished work that he's about to tell you about at length. He hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. What does it mean to be reconciled? It means to return to favor with, to receive one into favor. So how were we brought into the favor of God? We had offended him in our depraved nature. In Adam, we fell. We were worthy of damnation. We were not fit to be in his presence. How is it that we were brought unto God? He said, all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. God did the work. Jesus did the work. Spirit did the work. You didn't do this work. And hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. See, that's the work we've been given to do. That is to minister to those who have been reconciled with the good news of reconciliation. Because he goes on in verse 19 to say, to wit, that God was, to wit is just a legal phrase that means we're about to explain for you the exact same concept that was just gone over, but just in different terms. So to wit means he's fixing to rephrase what he just said, but he's going to tell you the exact same rudimentary meaning of that passage in verse 18, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. You see, that's past tense action. If God was in Christ and Christ represented you and he died for you, it says here, because of that, your trespasses cannot be imputed to you, and you have already been reconciled unto God through Jesus Christ. None of this is telling you that you have had a part in this eternal reconciliation. But then, again, to wit, he tells us what our part is. Our part is after the fact. He goes on to say, and he says here, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. You see, that's why I preach. I don't preach to get people saved for heaven, but I preach Jesus Christ. And under the sound of it, when people feel convicted of their sins and believe that Jesus died for them, when they come to that trust in him as the Savior, my friends, they have received the ministry of the reconciliation and the word of the reconciliation that has already taken place in their individual case. Praise God. So then he goes on, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Now he just finished telling us two verses before, in the last two verses, two or three verses, how God reconciled you to himself. Now he's saying, through the belief of the gospel, be ye reconciled to God. That means from your perspective, you don't have to go to bed at night in agony, feeling your sins, and totally, continually, every moment of every day, doubting your eternal life. You don't have to get up in the morning saying, if I don't behave well enough today and the Lord returns today, then I'll bust hell wide open. No, my friends, in faith, you trust that fully in the finished work of Jesus Christ, and you can live a more triumphant and joyful life, having been freed from the bondage of the law, because Jesus Christ, that great lawgiver and lawkeeper, has already kept the law to the jot and the tittle for you. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Did Jesus Christ believe that? Did he believe in being justified by faith? That means that your faith reveals unto you that you're already in a saved state with the Lord, secure for heaven. Well, go with me to John chapter 6, verses 38 through 40. In John chapter 6, verse 38, he made a very stark and bold proclamation. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. That is definitive language. He said, this is what I was given to do. This is what I came to do. And this is what I'm going to do. And that's what Jesus did. But then he goes on and he states something a different way. Now, notice the wording of Paul. He was always talking about what the Lord completed. And then secondary to that, you know that you're Abraham's seed. Secondary to that, now you know that you can be reconciled to God in your own mind and heart. The next verse, verse 40, says, and this is the will of him that sent me. So here, this is also part and parcel of the will of Almighty God. Notice before he was talking about all he hath given me. Lose nothing, raise it up again. There's a collective it. That means the elect. But in this verse, he says, and this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that every one. See, now he's getting it down to an individual level. He's saying, you, little child, under the sound of my voice, and this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. You see, verse 39 was talking about the whole family of God. Well, my friends, that's a foregone conclusion. And there's nothing you can do to extricate yourself, to separate yourself from that number, because Jesus came to do it. And by God, he's going to do it. But my friends, this is something that we enjoy. Everyone, every him can trust and believe in Jesus Christ and have that assurance and knowledge that they will be raised up at that last day, not to be condemned to everlasting perdition, but to be lifted up to the felicity and the joys of eternal life in heaven. That was red letter. Let's go see some other red letter. Matthew chapter 8. We're going to read verses 10 through 13. And here, this is the dealings of Jesus Christ with the centurion. The centurion of Capernaum was a man who was a heathen. He was not a converted man. He had never heard the preaching of the gospel. Gentiles at this time were not part and parcel to the joys of the kingdom of heaven. The time had not come for them to hear them yet. But yet this man of his own volition is going to come to Jesus. Why did he come to Jesus? Well, Jesus in John chapter 6 said, no man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him. That's like drawing water out of a well or drawing a sword out of a scabbard. It's a greater power that makes it so. It's not voluntary of your own volition. Why did this man, though, have the desire to come this day begging Jesus to heal his servant? Well, I would tell you it's because the Lord had already drawn him by the Holy Spirit of God. He was born of the Spirit of God. And I think we'll see evidence of this as we read that. Matthew chapter 8, verse 10. And when Jesus heard it, this man here had told Jesus, you don't even have to, I'm not worthy for you to come under the roof. I know what it's like to be able to give commandments and people follow it. And I know that you, Jesus Christ, are a man of authority and you're able to tell and command and it will be so. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that follow, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. Israel had been taught these things from books and scrolls and stone tablets and oral tradition all of their lives. And he said, but this man who dwells in abject evangelical ignorance has come to me and he trusts in me. And notice Jesus didn't give him any ultimatums and Jesus didn't say one. Now, are you sure you've believed enough? No, my friends. He said, I have not found so great faith. Not that you're trying to get to faith. Not that you're almost there. He said, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. And I'm going to tell you, there were a lot of faithful folks in Israel in that day and in the ages that preceded this day. But he said, this man, this unevangelized man, this man in gospel ignorance has faith. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Galatians 5:22 calls it the fruit of the Spirit. And Jesus said, this man's already got it. He's got it. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it unto thee. And his servant was healed in the self same hour. Now we turn to Matthew chapter 15, and we'll close with this wonderful event that occurred here as Jesus Christ had an exchange with some unbelieving Jews, some hateful, some spiteful. He went on to say they were blind leaders of the blind. And in verse 13, and he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind. Well, we go on to verse 15. Then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. Tell us, Lord, what it is you're teaching. And Jesus said, are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? There he's saying, whatever you eat, it's going to be expelled where you expel things. And I won't get any more common than that. Verse 18, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart, okay, out of the heart means they're, if they come out of the heart, that means they're already in the heart. Amen? I mean, that's common sense. Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with one unwashing hands defileth not a man. Why is it men do wicked things? They do wicked things because they have wickedness in their heart. Well, let's look at the opposite side of that coin. Why do men do righteous things? Obviously, it must come out of the heart as well, but not the same heart. Apparently, a heart that's been changed by the Holy Spirit of God. Proverbs 16:1 says, for the preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. You see, my friends, he's saying these people do these vile and wicked things, and they only do these things for a reason. It's coming out of them, what's already in them. But notice right on the heels of this, Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And the timing of this on the heels of this interpretation of this parable is crucial to understand. Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast. This Syrophoenician woman came and cried unto him, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. He answered her not a word. His disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now here Jesus is not being unfeeling toward this woman. Certainly he knows every fiber, every number of the hairs of the head of this woman. He knows her heartache. He knows her travail. But my friends, he's using this as a situation to draw out a response from her and to at the same time simultaneously teach a lesson to his disciples who had been led to believe that all Gentiles were nothing more than base dogs. See, there's a twofold lesson going on here. I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. You can ignore me, but here I am. I love you. I trust in you. I want to come. Now, this was a heathen woman. This was a woman who was a Canaanite, a Syrophoenician. This was not a Jewish woman. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Notice before, these Jews were spewing out hatred, vitriol, this antagonistic attitude toward the perfect man of God, Jesus. And he said, you know why? It's because it's what's already in their heart. And it's no accident that he draws this response out of this woman to show unto his disciples in that day, that woman personally in that day, and my friends, by extension, us in this day, that the only way she was able to exercise and trust in this beautiful faith. My friends, faith and belief go hand in hand. Faith means trust. You can't trust in that which you don't believe, and you can't believe in that which you do not trust. This woman had both trust and belief. This woman had faith. Why? Because it was something that was already in her heart. Her heart had been changed and made clean. Yes, my friends, Jesus Christ believed in being justified by faith. Both the centurion and this Syrophoenician woman left the presence of the Savior that day with the affirmation that they belonged to Him. And now we can look back, and I don't know what their level of cognitive understanding was, but I know, my friends, one thing. These people were already secure for heaven, and Jesus Christ, in the medium of the Holy Spirit of God and God the Father, all of them dwelt within the hearts of these unevangelized characters. But their faith brought out something sweet, an affirmation from the Savior that you are blessed beyond measure. Isn't that wonderful? I love believing and trusting in my Lord because it shows me invariably, clearly, what He has done for me. From before the world began, crossing over that dreaded cross and coming into my heart, and He'll carry me home to glory one day. I thank God for this red letter. Until we're able to be with you again, may the grace and mercy of the Lord be with you all in a special way.
If you enjoy the messages you hear on the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, we invite you to visit a Primitive Baptist church in your community. To find a Primitive Baptist church near you, to listen to past messages online, and to find further contact information, you can visit our website at gospel-of-grace.com. You can also find our program on iTunes under podcast, entitled The Gospel of Grace, a Primitive Radio Broadcast. If you listen and enjoy our program, we would love to hear from you. You may contact us by email at gospelofgracepb@gmail.com. This program is produced by Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church, 40283 Wolf Road, Caledonia, Mississippi, and Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, 11 Staten Road, on Highway 15, just north of Ackerman, Mississippi. We would love for you to come and worship with us each Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. We invite you to tune in again next week for another message from the Gospel of Grace. Until next time, we pray God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus our Lord.
Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus.